محمد نبينا.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Well, I know it's more than love now, 'cause you mean everything. Hear you talking when you're sleeping. Reality, know you're going through hardship, and I know that you're scared, but you don't need to worry, 'cause Allah is there. Ooh, oh, I will never let you go. You're my heart, my love, my soul, and the choices that we make, we gotta make our own. Gotta stand on our feet as we take this direction. When we take on the world, all the diamonds and pearls, couldn't take me away from your smile and your love. And I know you feel lost, and you wanna give up. After every hardship comes ease, hardship comes ease. May Allah bless our way and our intention. Stay pure every day, be a better.
After hardship comes ease. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're welcome to Everyday Muslim live on WFM 91.7. It's a beautiful Saturday right here for us. I do pray it's the same for you wherever you are. Everyday Muslim comes your way every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, and here we try to address the misconceptions on Islam. We do our best to foster peaceful coexistence and, of course, try to guide each other, the everyday Muslim, on the journey through Islam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, it's a beautiful Saturday. And today we're going to be looking at hardship and ease, the Islamic viewpoint. And I do hope you enjoyed what we started off with, that Saif Adam saying to us, reminding us of the verse from the Quran, after hardship surely comes ease. I have my guest here, but before I introduce my guest, let me give us, you know, a bit of a background to what we're going to be looking at today. I'm sure you are clear on, you know, everyone's going through one form of hardship or the other. And, you know, we loosely say Nigeria is happening to us right now. The whole world is happening to everyone, subhanAllah. Lately, the world seems to be swaying from one crisis to the other. We experienced a global pandemic, which caused dramatic changes to how we conduct our daily lives, right? And it brought upon us economic uncertainty to many countries and families. Also, communities and nations have experienced political and social turmoil, as well as an array of natural disasters. If you're familiar with your TV, if you go on regularly, there's one earthquake here, there's one tornado there, there's one, you know, hurricane here and there, subhanAllah. Nigeria has encountered several forms of disaster as well. We're not left out. There's been natural and there's been man-made, ranging from flooding, soil and coastal erosion, landslides, and many others, which are mostly man-made. On the 8th of September this year, there was an earthquake with a moment magnitude of 6.9, which struck Morocco's Marrakech, right, you know, close to us. This is African soil, the Safi region. It killed over 3,000 people. Then there are personal traumas that people are also dealing with, such as the loss of a loved one, decline in health, unemployment, divorce, violent crime, or even tragic accidents. And peculiar to Nigeria, kidnaps here and there, and, you know, all forms of uncertainties going on. Wherever you look at it, whether we face a global one or a personal crisis or a mix of both, blending resilience can help cope with stress, overcome adversity, and enjoy better days to come. In one of his sermons, the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, gave the following sound advice to the entire humanity about a time to come, and that time is what we're witnessing now. He said, "O community of Muslims, roll up your sleeves, for the matter is momentous. Prepare for an imminent journey. Garner provision now, as the journey is long. Lighten your loads, but you know, for before you is an ascent most steep. Only those traveling lights shall bear its climb. O humanity, before the hour comes, you will see wonders, vast tribulations, and difficult times. Darkness will prevail, and foulness will take the front. Those who enjoy right will be oppressed, and those who condemn vice will be suppressed. Hence, strengthen your faith for that time, and cling to faith as you would clench on for dear life. Flee to righteous deeds, and force yourselves to perform them. Be patient during difficult times, and you will eventually arrive to eternal bliss. This life is a test, both in good times and bad. Also, there's a saying in the Quran which says, after hardship comes ease. And on today's program, we're going to take a deep dive into what Islam says about hardship and ease, and how to handle both with, you know, with absolute reliance on God. And so as Muslims, we turn to God in good times and bad times. And on that note, I'd like to introduce to you my guest for today, Hajja Sakina Said. Ms. Sakina is a remarkable individual with a diverse range of roles and talents. She's not just a mother, she's also a devout Muslimah who continually strives to please Allah. In addition to her personal commitments, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. She's a marriage counselor who assists couples on their marital journeys. Mrs. Sakina is also an entrepreneur, demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of Lagos State University Education Lasued, formerly known as AOCOED. I hope there's another way they pronounce it. Alquid? Right. Adeniran Ogunseya College of Education, now known as Lasued. One of her favorite statements is, "What is my body weight to enter Jahannam, the fire of hell?" And this statement reflects her deep commitment to her faith and serves as a reminder of the importance of one's spiritual journey. Hajja Sakina, you're welcome to the show. Thanks for honoring us.
Thank you so much.
The way I said thanks for honoring us, you don't understand. You don't know the journey she has made to be here. When she told me where she came from, I said, outside Nigeria, mashallah, tabarakallah, barakallah. And she got here in time, alhamdulillah. May Allah make it way heavy on a scale of good deeds. I think we should jump right into it, because when we gave the topic and we gave the background, people can immediately be in sync with us on the same page. SubhanAllah, everyone can identify a pain point that they're currently facing in life. And so let's hopefully at the end of this hour with them, you know, channel their energy on how to get out of this hardship, how to cope with the hardship, inshallah. So can you elaborate on how the experience of hardship can vary depending on the diverse ways in which individuals encounter hardship?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نعمه ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد والهادي الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله that we are on the surface of the hearts. People face different diversities of problems. Nobody is an exception. Like there's a saying when we're young that the rich also cries.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody at a point in time have different things that matters to them. The way Allah trials and bring trials and tribulation to us differs.
No.
For some, it is co-workers, and it would be so huge. You can even tell the person that it's just a co-worker, I just not the person, but it is huge because it's a trial.
Mm.
It's for some is children, for some is spouses, for some is parents, for some is neighbors, for some is just material things. I can't get enough clothes, I can't get, you know, and you'll be disturbed. That will be disturbed in the hearts. You want to have that thing at all costs. So for everybody, it matters differently. I was talking to somebody a few days ago. I was saying that for me, if I don't have onions in my food, I can do away with it. Somebody said, no, I can go and wake somebody up at the middle of the night to ask for onions because I can't actually take my food without onions. You see that it is also a trial. For somebody that doesn't, the onions doesn't matter. You feel like, just onion, it's not the main food itself. For some, they can decide not to eat the food.
Just because there is no onion.
So nobody has it all in the race of life. Mm. And nobody, you can't say somebody's pain is easier or smaller. Everybody has it. And Allah makes it pain because it's a trial and tribulation.
For that person.
Yes, for that person. For some, they might feel that I don't even need children. We have some people that say we don't need children. For some, they cry every day and night. They want Allah to give them children. So for some people that have troubles with their children, they will see that person that is crying as, you're not serious. I have children, but I'm not confident.
Yes.
So, you know, we all face different things. I've seen a case of somebody's neighbor trying to threaten her. When she's going home, when she's out with you, she's happy. And when she's going home, she will be like, I can't enter the house. She's just a neighbor. Just close your door and come in. But it is a trial. So Allah wouldn't make it a light thing. So there are different stages of trials in life. It can be with co-workers, it can be with bosses. Some people have good bosses, they are the problem. Mm. Some as good workers, the bosses are the problem. It varies in life. At every stage in life, we all have one difficulties or the other. We just pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us.
Ameen, Ya Rab. So, listening to different scholars speak about hardship, empathy and compassion are stressed in the Quran as virtuous states of being. Now, for the benefits of our listeners, can you explain the Islamic perspective of hardship and ease and how they influence our lives?
Alhamdulillah. For as human, Alhamdulillah that we are Muslims, but as human, we need to have what we call compassion. Like there's a saying that says, do to others what you want others to do to you as well. You can't expect that you want pity, you want ease, when you don't give ease to others. And in so many cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that a trial is not something that will make us, it's not because he ate us, it's not because he wants to downgrade us. He just wanted a case whereby it's just like an exam and tests. We all go to schools, even if it is madrasa. If you don't go to school, you go to madrasa, or you go as an
where you learn Islamic.
An apprentice.
When you say madrasa, we have non-Muslims that don't know what madrasa is.
Madrasa is an Arabic school that you attend
where you
to
learn
understand
the Quran
and understand the meaning of the Quran. So, as an apprentice, you want to go and learn a specific skill. You also undergo tests. It is just for you to know that, okay, well, if you have actually been able to succeed or you've been able to be upgraded from one stage to the other. So Islam has told us that we shouldn't see ourselves as, I'm better off than this person. That's why I have my life perfect. That's why I'm not facing this trial. So you should be able to put empathy and compassion. When you see people in problem, you should know that it is not something that will go forever. It is not always a case of I wish it to happen. If, like I always tell my children, I tell you, God has not given us everything. If it is everything that we wanted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, then everybody wouldn't be where we are today. Would have flying into the mountains, go into the skies, and do a lot of things. But Allah always cautions us so that we don't go out of the focus.
We don't overstep the boundaries.
Yes, we don't overstep the boundaries. So at times, so many people wish for so many things. Even if you see people having bad attitude, or you might say, it is because you have this bad attitude. There are so many people that are stealing that they don't even wish to steal, and they'll be praying over it, and Allah will still make it a trial for them. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an hadith that when you see somebody in a trial and tribulation, don't mock mockery of the person. Say, Alhamdulillah, Ladi afani mamatalaka bi wa fadolani ala kathiri mimman qallaka tabdila. That is, it is only Allah that wish that that person is there. And it is not by your making that you are not in that person's shoe or you are not in that position at that time. So what you should do is just seek refuge from Allah, not to put you in that state. For instance, you say you accuse somebody of stealing. Have you been in a desert? The Prophet says, have you been in a desert where there is no food, where you are hungry and thirsty, and you found the water beside you? Would you have even think of asking for permission before even actually drinking that water? So you can't, nobody's perfect.
You can't judge somebody
based on what happened to them. It might be a trial. Though we have some cases whereby they are just things that comes our way, or maybe we are the trigger of that situation. But even as at that, it is still Qadarullah or Mashafala. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined that thing to occur. So in all ramifications, we should show empathy. We should listen and think of a way we can assist such person. We shouldn't just feel that, no, it is your ways that actually brought those things upon you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our affairs.
I mean, so, you know, just on the strength of what you said, the forms of tests and trials are numerous and diverse. Some people suffer poverty, some suffer physical illness, some live in a state of insecurity, some are deprived of their cherished and loved ones, and still others suffer psychiatric disorders. Now, what are some practical steps that Muslims can take to handle this test, both individually and, you know, on a communal level as a community?
Alhamdulillah, Islam is so beautiful. When there are trials and tribulation, firstly you have to know if you are not actually the cause of the problem. And what the Prophet enjoined us to do, firstly, is to seek for istighfar.
Seek forgiveness.
Yes, seek for forgiveness. Because the Prophet has told us that trials, when there are a lot of sins, and Allah wants to cleanse his own people, it always comes in form of trials. Because it is when you have trials that you always remember Allah. We have had cases of Rehan being not sick, he has all the wealth, he has everything, and he feels that I have everything going well for me, then I should say I'm God. I'm the one that created everything. I'm this, I'm that, you know. But at every point in time, trial checkmates us. It cleanses us. It makes us, it's like a pinch. That you have somebody who is your creator.
Reality check.
Yes, to check you back on the focus. What
sort
is
of a
your
intent?
Yes, it's a factory reset, actually, for you to go back to say, if you have conscience, you will now go back and think, what have I done wrong?
You start to do an audit of your actions and inactions.
You will be judging yourself. You will make account of what you have done before you are even accounted. You will feel like, okay, what have I done wrong? What are the things I am not doing properly? What are the things I should have done that I did not do? What are the things I overdid? What are the things that I'm supposed to have been patient about? Where are the places that I'm supposed to have spoken? You know, all those things, when you now check back, you say that, okay, it is a trial from Allah. Then the Prophet says that when you seek for istighfar, it's like a cleanser.
Okay.
You purify yourself. And there was a time the Prophet, some people went to the Prophet, the Sahaba al-Kram, the companions of the Prophet, went to the Prophet and says, I don't have children, I want a child. He says, go and do istighfar. He says, another person came to the Prophet that same day and said, I'm in debt. He said, go and do istighfar. Another person came and said, I have illness. He said, go and do istighfar. Then the Sahabas asked the Prophet, why are you recommending same treatment to different illness? He says, because when the Lord of the Creator is pleased with the servant, after he has cleansed and forgiven that soul, then the next thing is to bless such a person. So when you're cleansed, even if the trials are still there, you feel some kind of light in you when you do istighfar and say, okay, it is not my sin, it is not anything. I attend a Catholic primary school where my teachers will always say that the load on my head is light. When you pray and you are being forgiven, then it's like the load on your head is light. You can lift, you can, you know, the spirit will be different. That is when the vice now comes in. That's after every hardship
comes in. So that's individually, because what you've said now is a retrospective job you're doing individually, going through your actions and inactions and trying to find the point where you misguided yourself and trying to retrace your steps. So communally, how do we handle this?
Thank you very much. For community, we have a lot to do. We at times compound problems. Because, you know, people look down on you. People talk down on anybody facing a trial. For instance, let's look at our society when it comes to the situation of a divorcing. When you are trying to nurture your children, and some people be like, you are too strict. You want to be the father, you want to be the mother. Either it is a female or the man that is actually handling the children, you want to do the job of two people. The society doesn't understand the psychology trauma, the emotional trauma you're actually going through. Nobody will come and sit you down and say, my sister, how are you going to feed your children? But people will condemn every action you take.
Indeed.
If you shout on your children, they'll say, you are too aggressive. If you keep quiet and say, calmly, she's over pampering them. You know, nobody wants to see any reasons why, okay, is she undergoing some kind of depression?
Is she under any sort of pressure?
Yes,
does she need support?
Does she need support? At times, your words will only give them encouragement. Mm. Your words will give them the strength. They will take from your strength. Your words can only give them strength. That is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when a dying person is dying, don't say la ilaha illallah. No, don't say there is no God except Allah. Because that statement, when you say it as your last speech, Dakhal al-Jannah, then Jannah is
confirmed for you.
But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say it. No, that person is in pain. He will never listen to you.
Hmm.
So it is another problem when you shout on that person and the person now says, I don't want to say it.
Hmm.
You've committed a lot of blunders. What the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, just be saying it. Don't say, what is it? It's just a trial. No, just overlook it. Just walk away with it. No. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if it is to hug that person, if it is just to pat that person, if it is to visit, some of us, we just, people go through a lot of things. You even, to even ask a friend that has not given birth, like a trying to conceive person, and you now say, what have you been doing this since all these days?
Mm.
There are numerous tests you can actually do.
Mm.
By the time you know it, you will have given birth. You know, you compound to their problem. Why not do it in a very different manner? We need more of counseling, psychological help, emotional help that we can give to that person. Sometimes, alhamdulillah, I really give thanks to Allah because Nigerian is really, really trying when it comes to maybe we have one illness of it, but at times I see flyers of 20 million and people donate that money within a day or two. We are really doing great, Nigerians, with that. But we also need the psychology, the emotional, the good words of encouragement, the positive vibes, everything to assist such person. Even if it is just to check on someone. For instance, I have a case of a divorcee. Somebody who is married called her and said, you have not been calling me. And she said, why should I be the one to call you? Can't you just tell your husband, please give me 100 naira airtime so that I can check on this person?
Mm.
When last have you checked if I've given my children food?
Mm.
When last did you bother to say, have your children, which school are they attending? Can you afford the school fees? Is your father doing anything? You know, at times all this brought tears to my eyes. You know, we are trying in the financial aspect, but I feel that as a community, the Prophet has told us that we are one as Muslims.
Yeah.
And there's this adage that always told us that it is easy for a broomstick to be broken.
No.
But as a bunch, it is not easy to be broken.
No.
So we need all the assistance, the financial, the physical, the emotional support we can give to people around us.
No.
So we shouldn't just relent and leave them. Well, it is their problem. There's this adage of a rule that says, I've eaten and I don't bloody care if anybody has eaten.
Mm.
So
and that is completely the opposite of Islam.
Yes, the Prophet Islam says, you don't even go to bed.
No.
And you are filled up while your neighbor has not eaten.
No.
Look at, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. Okay. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It says, 40 houses in your front, 40 houses
to the back.
At your back, 40 at the right hand side, 40 at the left hand side. May Allah make us pass this test. So we really, really need to work hard. Let's treat people the way we want to be treated. Let's give them listening ear. We don't even have listening ear. Some people, when you hear these two people are having quarrel, you just listen from
there's
one party.
A bias.
And yes, you already.
And you pitch your tent. You know who you're supporting.
I need to add is the issue of when we have second wife in his my sister. You know, every second wife is a bad person.
No.
She actually came
she's to... She's a homebreaker.
May Allah bless you. You know, even some people that never spoke with the first wife, when she's working, she's not even free.
Mm.
When she eats, every action has a meaning.
Mm.
You know, There was one elderly man that spoke with me some 20 years ago. He said, Sekina, he said, when you marry a man, you make some little sacrifice. Okay. But when you are going in to be the second wife, you are going to do more than 17 stages of sacrifice. I was like, wow. Yes, you actually do the sacrifice of the first wife, the children of the first wife, the family of the first wife, the friend of the first wife, the neighbors of the first wife. I've not started. Then to the husband, the friend of the husband, the family of the husband, then the neighbor, my sister. When the man was counting, I was just like, wow. And that is actually
true.
That's
the reality.
Yes, that's the reality. So we should be there for each other, because that is why Allah didn't create us in isolation. Allah wants us to be like a community. That's why you have to, you can't build your eyes and say, okay, let me build my own house here. May I want to be. I told somebody yesterday, I said, if Allah wants us to live in isolation, let us all be living in the bush. But it's not even easy. You can't do without anybody. We all have our own roles.
We are dependent. Yes. Allah has created us to be dependent on each other.
Some people in Nigeria, I have sisters in the UK, they will be like, ah, you know, they're always missing some things out. That's why we complain of Nigerian. They was, ah, if it's Nigerian, I would have gotten a maid. If it's Nigerian, I would have gotten a helping hand. You know, to train children is not even easy over there.
No.
They don't have an assistant.
No.
You know, a sister went there of recent. I had to call them. They were students of School of Nursing at UK. They went to UK, and I told them when they were leaving, I said, please, just unite yourself. Just make sure you are there for each other. One of them gave birth of recent. She felt as if she was a Nigerian. I said, this is one of the things you need to do to each other. Just be there. You know, it's not a case of I've gotten to UK, so I don't even know how to speak a normal dialect again. I have to, you know, I have to just restrain myself from. No, it doesn't have to be that way. We have to be together. Unity works a lot. That is why the Prophet Allah says, if people are united, he will send down his mercy. Allah has destroyed so many nations because they lack unity. So we should work on this. May Allah strengthen us, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. And I mean to the dua. I want to take us back very quickly when we spoke about burden and how, you know, when you seek istighfar, the burden is lifted off you and all of that. And I want to connect us to a verse of the Quran, chapter 2 of the Noble Quran, verse 286, where Allah says, he doesn't lay responsibility or burden on anyone beyond their capacity. In another verse, Allah assures that for indeed, with hardship will be ease, and that's in chapter 94, verse 5. Can you elaborate on the significance of these verses in the context of dealing with hardship and tough times? Because rarely, sometimes you look at it and you think, but Allah said he will not overburden me. But man, this thing is beyond me. It's all not past my power. Subhanallah. It looks like bass boats from every angle. Like the trials is not ending. You know, from the husband has lost his job, the wife is the, you know, sole, you know, breadwinner of the home, and next thing there's an illness that is golfing the small resources that they have, and you're thinking, ah, but Allah, you say you know about burdening, so you know, so how do we connect to this, realistically speaking, you know, in context of dealing with this hardship?
Alhamdulillah, surely we are not overburdened by Allah. We just need to understand that. What I have come to understand within the little years I've spent on earth is, if the best of mankind, the prophets, you know, when you read about the, there's a book we read in MSSN when we're very, very young, there's The Return of Pharaoh.
Pharaoh?
Yes.
The Return of Pharaoh?
Pharaoh, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's a book that we all read in MSSN. It's just to prepare us with the attacks ahead. It is like, you know, people want to practice their faith and they go through a lot of trials. But my dear sister, it's just like a student in the class, whereby the teacher comes to class and teach. The teachers expect you to go to make some little research after they might have taught you, given you some information, they want you to elaborate your knowledge. And the teacher will never set a question outside the box. Any competent teacher will never set a question outside the box.
You said competent. If I flash back to my uni like this, may God bless those teachers that went outside the scheme, but to you for another day.
It is just to prepare you.
So but what is happening now, right?
You can boldly say you are a student of uni like,
okay.
But deep down, how do you feel? You feel like, yes, I really work for that.
Indeed.
Yes. That is, every trial is to test your level of faith.
No.
it is to bring you closer to your Lord.
Wow.
So it is not going to come easy. It is just like, I remember the case of Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he was being dragged on the scorched sun.
No.
And every time some children would go meet him and say, you said you have accepted Islam.
Mm.
Why is it that your Lord is looking at you?
Mm.
He said, it is just like when your mother goes to the market and buy a clay pot.
Mm.
And he started trying to see if the is actually knocking on the clay pot. What is your mother trying to do? Mother is trying to see if the clay pot is stronger enough.
Authentic.
And he says, yes, my Lord is actually looking if I'm going to withdraw.
Hmm.
You can't just say you believe. Allah has said it in the verses of the Quran. You can't just say, I believe in the oneness of Allah without you being tested. You're going to be tested.
To confirm that statement you just made. Is it lip service or is it real?
Yes. Is it from within? Is it something you just said on the tip of your tongue?
Mm.
So it needs to be confirmed.
Mm.
And if you know that, you're going to know peace. That actually these things, nothing lasts forever. Not even happiness lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. The Prophet says that when there is difficulty, he is happy. And when there is sadness, there is difficulties, he is happy. But when there is favors, there is blessing, he gets sad.
Mm.
And the companions asked, why is this happening to you? Normally, you're supposed to be happy when there is happiness and be sad when there is trials. He says no. He says, when there is trials, I know it doesn't last forever.
Mm.
And I used to expect the favors of my Lord that will come after that difficulty.
Yeah.
Because it is just like my friend brought a ripe planting for me the other day. And he said, tie it in the nylon, do it in this, do it in that.
The ripe planting.
The ripe right planting. I didn't put it anywhere. I didn't even have the time because I'm a very busy person. I placed it on my slab in the kitchen.
Mm.
And after some time, I noticed that the thing is ripe.
No.
It taught me a lesson. I was like, okay, some effort are not always needed.
Mm.
Allah just wants us to do it. It's not because He needs our effort. It's not because He needs us to do some things.
Mm.
He doesn't appreciate His authority.
Mm.
He doesn't appreciate His majesty.
No.
He does not lift His majesty as well.
Mm.
He just say be and it will be. So at every time, we should know that nothing lasts forever.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, trials will come. They are too. Make us stronger and see if our words are actually confirmed,
mm-hmm.
how authentic they are.
Indeed, absolutely. We'll go on a quick break. Let's play you in the sheets to relax the mood. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines so that you can be a part of the show. We are looking at hardship and ease, the Islamic perspective. It is Everyday Muslim right here on WFM. We'll be back in the jiffy. Stay with us.
Found your home, it's here with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I stay by your side, honest and true, to the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Now and forever, I'll be there for you. I know it deep in my heart.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, it's Everyday Muslim live here on WFM 91.7. The phone lines are open. 07000-917-917 is the number to call to be a part of the show. 07000-917-917. Alternatively, you can send us an SMS or WhatsApp message to 070-317-56537. 070-317-56537 is the number to drop a message. Text message or WhatsApp, we will take your messages, inshallah ta'ala. Let's get back to Hajja Sakina. So, as Nigerians, we are going through a lot, subhanAllah, given the level of hardship in Nigeria at the moment. A lot may want to give up. And this actually flashes me back a few weeks ago when a sister's case was brought to my notice. She was at the verge of committing suicide because of loan sharks. She got entangled in the loan web, subhanAllah, and it choked her so much that she was going to commit suicide. And I remember also reading in the news the case of the young lady, I think it's in the lorry, where she took her mother's money to give to her boy a male she met online, and subhanAllah, it went bad. The guy disappeared into thin air, and eventually she committed suicide. She couldn't face her mom to tell her what had happened, and so it gets to that point where you feel overwhelmed by all that is going on, and you honestly can't see a way out. What would you say to such person? Maybe someone right now is listening and thinking, "It's really over." Is it really over?
It is not really over. It is not over. Like I said, we should all have the mindset that it is not going to last forever. Whatever we are going through at the point, we were not born, we're not adults in a day. We're growing from one stage to the other. At the time we're in our mother's womb, at the time we came to this world, at the time we couldn't talk, at the time we couldn't feed ourselves, at the time we couldn't walk, at the time we couldn't lift our hands and do things ourselves. Gradually, it's just like a mother that gives birth to a child. You look at a baby in your hand, before you know, you just see the transformation, and like somebody says, a baby is now a mother. You know, gradually, in the presence of those that you were giving birth to, you became, matured, you got married, start giving birth to children, and before their eyes, you can also become a grandma. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that nothing lasts forever. It is a stage. At the peak of it, at the peak of, is this thing going to end? Yes, it's going to end. Because it is like our life is drilling away. It is actually going to end one day. So you should have the mindset. And when it is at the peak of it, when you're being choked, just have the mindset that you have overcome some trials, some pains in the past. It's actually ended. Even things that you feel that, it's just like when you offend your mom when you were young and they say, I'm going to beat you today. The pain will look as if it's not going to end, as if the relationship is not going to be rebuilt, but it's a lie. No matter the offense, no matter this, no matter that, you always overcome it. So have the mindset, be positive at this moment because Allah is closer to you, angels are closer to you. Be positive, say good things to yourself because be affirmative that I'm going to overcome this. That's positive. That's words of affirmation. We help you a long way. Because at the times of trials, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to you. And whatever you say at that time comes to reality. So we should be careful. Like I have seen so many cases where people say, no, Nigeria cannot be this. I say, be positive. Because at the time of pain, Allah says, I'm closer to you. I'm more closer to you. And the angels are closer to you. They say, amen to whatever you say. So instead of being negative, instead of being saying, am I going to... The Prophet has told us a lot of things. He says, when somebody dies for you, somebody you love, he says, do not wail. It doesn't mean that you're not going to shed tears. The Prophet himself shed tears when
he lost his own family member.
Yes, he shed tears. But he was not wailing. He was not saying like the Yoruba.
Pulling himself and pulling the hair. Throwing himself down and all
yes,
of
that. Yes, he says when such thing happens, just saying, Allah, why not? To Allah will come and to
from
him
Allah
we shall return.
From Allah we come and to him.
Yes, that we shall return. And say, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, I'm giving thanks to you in all situations. Allah, I give thanks to you in all situations. Allah says, when you say this, there are so many things the Prophet encouraged us to say. There are a lot of du'as that the Prophet asks us to say, Allahumma la salan, ila maja'ata wa salan, wa anta tajahalula, oh Allah of ease, I want you to ease my affairs. Ya ayu ya qayyum, they ever live in the subtle. And be rahmatika astaghfir. Do not leave me to myself for a being of an high. There are so many du'as. There's this Allah, who many as Allah inquiry fakir, who Allah, I'm expecting of every good you can bring my way, every favor. So the Prophet wants you to chant the askar, do the remembrance of Allah. And when your mind is telling you to not go into hell, it's shaitan. It's shaitan. I will say, no, this thing can't get better. Who says Nigeria?
Because
can't
he sees
get
that you are about to win the,
yes, battle.
So
he wants
intensifies.
You to give up and say, no, I can't. No, once you say that statement, and when a soul is about to depart the body, when you give it, some souls, you know, I realize that when you say, this is the hand, all souls that pass away, when it gets to a stage, there is a sign of giving up. Even, but if they have this determination that I am still going to scale through, Allah still give them some respite. You know, just be positive. Say good things. I'm going to make it. You know, see words of affirmation these days. I am beautiful. I am this. I am that. And it's really affecting people's life. So at that time, even if your mind is saying it, say it out. Tell somebody. And I just want to tell you that I'm going to overcome this. I just want to tell you, you know, the person may look at you as if you are going nuts. But no, you're actually, you know, giving yourself that courage. And whatever you see at that time, the Prophet Sam says, the angel will say, Amen. So instead of saying, Nigeria cannot be, Nigeria is going to be good.
Nigeria will be great again.
On this Badagry Expressway, I've seen people die.
No.
There was a day I was going to my mommy's place at Badagry. And when I was on the way, you know, there's this coaster bus. It tumbles like this. I was with my children and a sister that was living with me. And I said, Ya Allah. Everybody was in the bus and they were surprised. I said, I suffered on this road. I want to see when this road is going to be good. I want to see a lot of great things. I was going to work one day. I saw somebody fell from a van and another bus just stamped on his head. And that was the hell of it. So people say, I cannot survive this. Look at the little things that are doing this no cash policy. Look at people will give up and say, I can't endure this. I can't do this. No, that is not the time to say
that.
Nice,
a thing of the past, subhanAllah. And it felt like
our
lives
are
coming to an end.
Yes, we that we are alive now. Are we not smiling? We didn't give up.
No.
We shouldn't be seeing everything as, it's no.
This is the end of me,
yes, as Muslims, you need to be calm. The Prophet Hassan says, surprises is the life of a Muslim. He says, when good things happen to a Muslim, she's happy. When bad things happen, she's patient. Yeah, she is patient. That patience is of two types. The short term of the patience is for you to say, I give thanks to you, or say good things to yourself. The long term of it is for you to look at the positive things you want to happen to you at the end of that trial. So it's all, COVID came. Was it not going to end? It's ended. No cash. Hey, how are we going to survive it? We survived that. Fuel is scarce. It's expensive. Now we're getting over it. That is human. We don't want discomfort. But when it comes, there's a way, if we are positive. For some people, I need to tell you this. During that cashless policy, I didn't feel it. It was awkward, but I didn't feel it. For no day, when I want to, on my phone, and I want to make a transaction, I say, Bismillah. In the name of Allah. And I never for one, people say, I made a transaction, it did not go. Allah didn't make me. I was calm about it. If that is the policy of the government, it is going to be easy for me. I was at my workplace some times ago and I have some challenges with one of my aides. And she was always like, I'm going to make life difficult for you. I'm going to do this. And I prayed to God. I said, anytime this woman had the intention of making things difficult for me, Allah, I want ease. And there was a day he said he was not going to give me some official things. And wallahi, I was just going and I saw an alternative. She was being the one angry. She was angry. She was like, Sekina, how did you get this thing? I said, it's Allah. I don't even mind using my money to get things that will make it. And Allah made that period easy for me. I was not panicking. I came to understand that no time lasts forever.
Indeed.
And today, when we see each other, I'm now her boss.
Allahu Akbar Kabir.
Yes, I am now her boss. And today, there was a time she was having some, her husband was actually sick and he couldn't stand up. And she came to meet me. Somebody said, if I'm the one, I will not ask that to her. I said, why? And there was some prophetic medicine I actually gave to her. She called me and said, my husband stood up for after so many months. and we now became friends. Wow. So nothing lasts forever, wow, my sister.
Even enemies don't last forever.
Yes, yes.
Mashallah. Let's take a trip to the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From every perspective, he's the best role model to follow. Mm-hmm. How did he deal with hardship? Because we know he, I know what comes to mind immediately is the time he lost his uncle and his wife. Subhanallah, that was the toughest time in his life. And he lost his children. He lost all those, everything we are facing now, we're experiencing, he experienced it firsthand. How did he deal with all those hardships?
Firstly, is the trust in his creator. The Prophet didn't start having problems when he lost his wife. No, before he was actually born. How does it feel being an orphan before you even actually came to this earth?
Before you go on, let me remind our listeners that you can be a part of this conversation. Just dial 07000-917-917. Alternatively, drop a WhatsApp message 070-317-56537 and we will happily read out your messages. Hajjah Sekina is here walking us through how to deal with hardship and, you know, reassuring and reminding us after hardship comes ease. And that's Islam for us, that's what we find in the Quran, and we are at the moment trying to take lessons from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
So he, alhamdulillah, it wasn't even after he was born, it was before he was actually born. And at every point Allah has a reason. Allah killed his father even before he was born. He was an orphan. Do you know how people go astray being an orphan today? Even the mother is devastated. Ha, I lost the father of this unborn child. You know, some people go through a lot of things. The Prophet ﷺ came to this world. He was with Alimatu Shadia after his birth. His mother died when he was 6 years. He lost his grandfather at 8. Allahu Akbar. And every time anybody is trying to be closer.
So just when he has someone that he has seen as, this is my person, then
no, Allah says, no, I am there for you. And at every point in time, you look at the death of Hamza, the death of Khadija, the death of all his children, except one, and that one left 6 months after he died. That was Fatima, radiallahu anha. And look at the time of Hudaybiyah. Or can we now say when he was in the cave with Abu Bakri? And what did he tell Abu Bakri? He said, what is, who is there to frustrate somebody that there are two and Allah is with them, the third of them? So look at the time of Hudaybiyah. Allah encamped them in a specific place. But that time, what I've come to realize, the Prophet Hassan used to say is that at every trial, there is always a reward. And a massive reward, not just a little of it. Usually it's just when you say there is a difficult, but stages of difficulty.
Yes.
You understand? And when it comes like that, we should not don't look at the problem. Then you should always look at the solution you can provide. So what the Prophet used to do is maximize the reward.
Okay.
You know, he used
so
to
he helped him focus less on the trouble and the challenge that
and
he's
the challenge
facing.
He maximized the reward. What are the things I'm expecting after all this? So instead of being bothered about the trials, he's always, you know,
fixated on the reward.
Yes, that's what is going to be the reward. He always maximized the reward of what is coming after. When he fought the battle of Uhud and he conquered all the battles that he didn't conquer, it's not as if he didn't pray. Even some Sahaba went to meet him and said, yeah, Rasulullah, pray. He didn't say, you see that I'm praying. No, he knows it was not going to be easy. Allah knows those Sahabas, he has them to stay on the mountain. He knows they were going to live there. He knows that the Prophet's teeth was going to be broken. He was going to be eaten by the helmet. You know, but he was emphasizing on the reward. Look at when Surat of Fatih was actually revealed.
The chapter of victory.
Yes, that's where my name is. Surat of Fatih. And I love that surah. And when you think and digest Surat of Dua, Allah said, I saw you as an orphan before I gave you life. I saw you homeless before I gave you shelter. He says, your tomorrow is going to be better than today. Do you see that sukkah? Do you see that? You know, I'm expecting, I'm going to give you something, but our ways are not God ways. It is not going to be smooth. Ah, I'm going to bus stop and I have to go straight. No, that is not good. God can say, go and pass a cycle before you even get to the bus stop. So our ways are not God ways. But what gave the prophet hope was he knows he was going to be granted victory. But he knows it's anything that comes, Yoruba always says that a pot that is going to eat some pepper is going to be hot. Do you understand? So if you can see the best of mankind, no prophet had it easy.
Indeed.
Prophet Isa, Prophet Musa, you know, is Prophet Musa, you know, when I read about Prophet Musa, I just laugh at times. a woman in labor. And God said, no, leave that woman. I want to send you on an errand. Do you understand? Somebody that spoke while he was an infant, a day, and Allah was looking at them till they were dragging him and saying this. You understand? Till Allah lifted him up.
Lord, but that's Jesus.
Yes, that's Jesus.
Him.
Peace be upon him. And look at all prophets. No, he has a child that was a lost sheep. Prophet Ibrahim has trials of parents. They put him inside the fire. And Allah said, please, Allah says fire should be cool. Allah didn't say, don't do anything to my messengers. They are just going to be. Allah says, Allah knows they are going to, you know, all those things, when you read about it, they give you this calmness that you are not actually in this tree alone. And when you know you are not in the journey alone, it gives you some
level of relaxation. You are relaxed. You take it better. It's easier to handle.
Yes. The Prophet Assams has always told us at every time that we should note that it is not going to be easy. He didn't promise us it's going to be easy. He has told us, "Adunia daru lahamal walahakro daru jaza." This life, you are going to walk. So when Allah says, "On the day of Yamal Kiyama, wajasa won't be more sovereign jannata wa arira," He says, "Ha, well done. You have made sacrifice. Ha, I've seen all your sacrifices. I've seen all your endurances. And today, I'm going to bless you with this home." You know. All those things.
That's what Allah will be saying to me.
Yes, inshallah, all of us. All of us, may Allah make us hear that statement when Allah says, okay, go on. Yes,
Ameen.
And everybody, you know, what joy do you derive when you can't see, this is Sister Rahima, this is Sister Sakina, this is in Al Jannah. What joy do you derive? You can't, everybody, if the whole world is in Jannah, you can't even have all of it. Why would you want to deprive somebody of going there? So, you know, the joy that something is the goal, when you have a goal, paradise, this is where I'm actually going. Then every other thing will just be side attraction. And the Prophet Azam says, when somebody that has suffered throughout his stays on earth is just drenched inside Al Jannah and come out and say, how has suffered? He said, me? Did I suffer? I've never suffered.
I know what you just said, SubhanAllah. You know how it is in this life when you've gone through severe trekking on the road, you've trekked in this hot blazing sun, and just a taste of one sip from a glass of water. It's pure heaven. Or even, you know, a fasting person, a laborer that has fasted all day, has slaved in the sun, has worked so hard at that time of breaking the fast, SubhanAllah, you don't remember anything.
Let me contribute to that. When a woman is in pain of labor and immediately that child comes out,
baby pops out.
You just say, Alhamdulillah. You know,
you don't remember the pain.
Somebody was telling me that, I have a boy, and he's like, he's more than the labor pain. I said, no, you have forgotten. You've actually forgotten that you had a labor pain. And it's not something that lasts like that. You know, it doesn't last like that. I said, labor pain is not a joke. But Allah is always putting some kind of relief. When you have the pain, contrast, etc., it will just come down. And like that. So when you see some things, you say, I've never gone through these things before. Or I don't just know how it feels. Yes, because, you know, some kind of relief. as certain.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I mean, Jazakumullah khair and Hajja Sakina. I wish we can go on and on, subhanAllah, but time is never our friend on this show. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. And to you, all of our listeners that tried calling in, we appreciate your time listening to us, to our sound engineer, Mr. Hilary, Breath of Life. Thank you so much, Sister Aisha. Oluwateni Olami. Thank you so much for everything you've done. And to you, we'll see you same time next week. I'm going to leave you with Zane Bika. In spite of all the hardships that you are facing, that you have faced, there's an assurance that there will be ease after all of that. So I tell you to get up again from that pain and, you know, look on the bright side, be positive. We'll see you same time next week, bi-iznallah, when we bring you another beautiful package of Everyday Muslim. We'll see you then. Assalamu alaikum.